Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. We have good, bad, and crazy martinis for conservatives today. And today we are once again sponsored by Simply Safe Home Security. Protect your home the smart way without the expensive long-term contracts using Simply Safe. Visit simplysafe.com/ricochet. Go right now, and you'll also get free shipping on your order and that free keychain remote worth $25. Visit SimpliSafe, that's SimpliSafe.com/ricochet to get started. And, Jim, we obviously start with the good martini, and People Magazine is out with this glossy new profile, soft-pedaling Hillary Clinton, and she talks about Tim Kaine. There's even some buddy shots of them in the article where Hillary says he's not just a great running mate, he is just fabulous to have as a friend. Well, that's a little bit different than the impression she had of Tim Kaine as a running mate just 8 years ago. A lot of folks are reporting on this. Here's the Daily Caller story. Democratic presidential nominee Hillary Clinton is quoted calling Tim Kaine a terrible choice for a running mate in a book about the 2008 presidential election. 1 in 8 chance, Clinton is quoted as saying in the book, regarding President Barack Obama's chances of winning the 2008 election if he chose Kaine as his running mate. The Democratic senator, of course, is now serving as Clinton's running mate. Here's the actual quote from the book Game Change. Quote, Clinton returned to Obama's prospects in the general election. Quote, I think it's 50-50 whether he wins, right? She said, noting that Obama's VP choice was critical. Giving odds on whom he would pick, Biden, 1 in 2 chance. By, 1 in 4 chance. Kaine and Sebelius, both which I think are terrible choices, 1 in 8 chance, unquote. So, Jim, I'm guessing that if this comes up, she'll say it was a different circumstance and she's more experienced and that's what Obama needed or so forth. But to go from a terrible choice to the perfect running mate 8 years later, quite a shift.
Greg, a lot's changed in 8 years. Tim Kaine used to be a terrible, terrible choice. But in those 8 years, he's a completely different man. And because of that, he's the best possible choice. I'm guessing that's how she'll try to spin that one. I do remember that. I remember thinking like he had just been he had been governor for not very long. He asked people in Richmond how terrific he was as mayor. They're kind of underwhelmed by him. They basically will kind of look at him as a guy who just happened to be in the right place at the right time. It's worth noting when he ran for governor, Greg, he ran as a conservative.
Oh, right? Yeah.
This is an anti-gay marriage, pro-gun rights. I cut taxes, I controlled spending, you know, down the line, I'm not like those national Democrats. So maybe she does like him better in the sense that he really has changed and headed very far to the left, much like the rest of the Democratic Party. But in other words, it's kind of a fun chuckle and she'll have to explain. If Trump is smart, he will bring this up in the debate and hopefully cause her some uncomfortable shifting in her seat.
Yeah.
Since she'll be sitting.
I'm sure the authors of Game Change got it wrong, too. We'll probably hear something like that.
They absolutely. You can't trust the, you know, Heilman. You know, you can only use their stuff to make HBO movies.
That's right. Oh, man. Oh, the flip-flopping just keeps going on. All right. On to the bad martini now. And obviously, based on what we saw last night, as well as the night before, we're going to be talking about the unrest, particularly in Charlotte, North Carolina. There was a police-involved shooting on Tuesday night. And there were riots in the immediate wake of that Tuesday. At least a dozen cops, I believe, were injured in some form or fashion. And then the riots returned on Wednesday night, despite this pretty clear explanation earlier on Wednesday from Charlotte Police Chief Kerr Putney about exactly what had happened in the incident between the officers and the victim.
Our officers observed a subject, Mr. Keith Lamont Scott, inside a vehicle at the apartment complex. He exited the vehicle armed with a handgun. The officers observed him get back into that vehicle, at which time they approached the vehicle to engage this subject. The officers gave loud, clear, verbal commands, which were also heard by many of the witnesses. They were instructing the subject, once he got out of the vehicle, to drop the weapon. In spite of the verbal commands, Mr. Scott, as I said, exited his vehicle armed with a handgun as the officers continued to yell at him to drop it. He stepped out, posing a threat to the officers, and Officer Brentley Vinson subsequently fired his weapon, striking the subject.
So did that explanation calm the crowds on Wednesday? No, multiple people shot, one of them believed to be on life support after initially reported being killed because he was shot in the head. Reporter Ed Lavandera was knocked to the ground for CNN, and here's reporter Boris Sanchez for CNN dealing with the pepper spray as the police were ordering everyone to clear the streets, and it's only at the end that he realizes that means him too.
So far, they've put out... Oh, wow. They put out a pepper spray. People are running from it. Jerry, get out of there! Jerry, get out of there! So as you can tell, the situation is totally out of control. Just to give you a look at where the police line is right now, you can tell from all the debris in front of me, things very quickly got out of control. And they are still doing what they can to disperse this crowd, but it's very difficult. It's very difficult. Oh, okay. They clearly want us out of here.
Yeah, apparently they do. Those were flashbangs. Those were not major explosions going on there. So, Jim, we've got Hillary Clinton tweeting that Keith Lamont Scott, Terrence Crutcher, too many others. This has got to end. We have two names to add to a long list of African Americans killed by police officers. It's unbearable and it needs to become intolerable and so forth. Obviously, these are tragedies, but to equate these two cases is very different. What we heard from the police chief seems to be pretty cut and dried in Charlotte. The case in Tulsa with Terrence Crutcher seems to be much more iffy, and obviously a full-scale investigation is going on there. What do you make of the reaction to all this?
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm sure if you are African-American and you feel like the police are targeting you unfairly, if you feel like you are constantly under suspicion, if you feel like the police are prone to use deadly force when it is not justified, I'm sure you're mad as hell and you are really furious about this and you want to stop hearing about these kinds of stories and you want these kinds of police shootings to stop happening. Having said that, you don't get to make up your own narrative that puts the person who was shot in the best possible light. It's a very detailed research by the Department of Justice determined that hands up, don't shoot never happened. He did not raise his hands. And yet there are millions of Americans who completely believe that and completely believe that the shooting in Ferguson was a de facto police execution and completely unjustified. There is now this basically, it's turning to basically an urban legend, this idea that there was he was reaching for a book. And because he reached for the book, the police shot him. And here we have another one. Even if the worst case scenario, because we do have police shootings that are unjustified in this country, it happens. Police are human beings. They make mistakes. They make the bad decisions. They draw when they shouldn't. They shoot when they shouldn't. And people end up dead. And in cases like that, it's got to be investigated. It's got to be prosecuted. It cannot be swept under the rug. But you cannot say, I'm so mad about this, I'm going to start doing property damage. I'm so mad about this, I'm going to shut down the interstate. I'm going to grab stuff out of trucks. I'm going to set it on fire. You cannot run through downtown Charlotte breaking windows and smashing things and trying to loot. Looting is not protesting. Looting is stealing. Right. And if you wanted to make people think that the African-American community doesn't know what it's talking about, that they're angry for no reason, that they're just using these shootings as an excuse to do violent acts, this is exactly what you would do. This is the worst possible scenario, the worst possible response that they could. And I don't know about you, Greg, I'm just getting tired of this. This seems to happen. It looks every 6 weeks or so in this country. And so far, as of this recording, no one has taken a shot at a police officer. But that's the other, you know, disturbingly common response people have to this. And, you know, you kind of ask yourself, you know, who's pouring gasoline on the fire of this anger? Why is peaceful protest not acceptable to these people? Why does it not seem to be enough for them? And why do they seem to think, oh, I'm going to start smashing things, and hopefully that will make things better. I cannot respect that thinking, and that, you know, those are criminal acts and they ought to be prosecuted.
Jim, you're exactly right about that. And credit to the folks in Tulsa who are protesting, because from everything we're hearing, they did it peacefully. And there seems to be a lot more question marks in that case than there are in the case in Charlotte, North Carolina. But we hope for a safe evening in both of those cities and around the country as hopefully this simmers down here today and in the days to come. Jim, you mentioned the property damage. This is probably an awkward transition, but it's perhaps an appropriate one as well. Thousands of people are seeking home security and get ripped off every day. You get locked in long-term contracts. You get stuck writing huge checks with no way out. It's robbery, and it can cost you thousands. Now there's a smarter way to protect your home with SimpliSafe Home Security, which offers superior protection with 24/7 monitoring and police dispatch.
There are no annual contracts. Traditional alarm companies lock customers into three-year contracts with nasty auto-renewal clauses and pages upon pages of fine print.
Plus, it's a lot cheaper than the other companies, monitoring for less than half the cost of the traditional alarm companies. It starts at just $14.99 per month, and SimpliSafe does not charge any activation, installation, or hidden fees.
There's a built-in cellular signal, which means you don't have to pay for a landline phone. Plus, a cellular connection is faster than a landline, and it's safer. Unlike a traditional wired alarm system, burglars cannot shut it down by cutting a cable.
And it's got user-friendly wireless design, as well as easy-to-do-yourself installation. SimpliSafe designed a home security system that is extremely user-friendly, can be installed by anyone in under 30 minutes without turning one screw.
Also, there's pricing transparency. All of the costs are explained up front on the website. The customer is in control from start to finish and is never hit with extra hidden fees. Order directly on the SimpliSafe website and they ship the system to your doorstep.
It's unbeatable protection. It's a great value. No contracts. Cheaper prices. What's not to like? SimpliSafe.com/ricochet is where you need to go. SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. On to the crazy martini now, Jim. And this story basically got buried by all the coverage of what was happening in Charlotte on Wednesday. Hard to think that this would have been such a poorly covered story just a few years ago. ISIS is suspected of firing a shell with mustard agent that landed at the Kayara Air Base in Iraq Tuesday, where U.S. and Iraqi troops are operating, according to several U.S. officials. The shell was categorized by officials as either a rocket or artillery shell. After it landed on the base just south of Mosul, U.S. troops tested it and received an initial reading for a chemical agent they believe is mustard. No U.S. troops were hurt or have displayed symptoms of exposure to mustard agent. One official said the agent had low purity and was poorly weaponized. A second official called it ineffective. Bottom line is more testing is done. So fortunately, nobody seems to be suffering any ill effects from this, Jim. But chemical weapons being used against U.S. troops, it's one thing that the media doesn't care that it's being used in the Syrian civil war. But when our own people are on the line, you'd expect a little more coverage than this.
There was absolutely no mention of this on the network news, according to Newsbusters. Now, some of this may be that Newsbusters, as far as I know, is the only people who still watch the nightly network news. But look, this strikes me as a big deal. And people, I put this out on Twitter and people are saying, well, look, you know, Jim, ISIS has used mustard gas before. Yeah, that doesn't make it any less scary. That doesn't make it any less serious. You know, like to me, this is part of how the use of chemical weapons is gradually getting normalized. Right. Like, there used to be a giant, I'm not kidding when I say literally global taboo. Right. Everybody was signatories to the Chemical Weapons Convention. We had decided, based on World War I and what we'd seen over the years, generations of slaughter, that this was something we were not going to tolerate. Now, we lucked out on this, almost as lucky as we were earlier this week with the terror attacks in the U.S., the fact that, you know, a homeless man found one of the bombs, a thief accidentally disarmed one of the other bombs. We have dodged a lot of bullets lately. So, yeah, it's good news. That if there's the mustard gas in this was poorly weaponized and wasn't very potent and things like that. But look, do you think ISIS is not going to, you know, keep doing this? It was a one shot, you know. I was really baffled by this, by the fact that this doesn't seem to be a big deal. And I have there's a traditional American lack of interest in news from overseas. Americans are tired of hearing about the Middle East. I think it's all a big mess or something. Obama said there was a red line and he was, you know, and there'd be big consequences for crossing it. The idea that, look, we're in the middle of an election season and the worse things seem, probably the better it is for the out party and the challenger. You know, there's all kinds of, suspicious reasons for why the media just might not have that much interest in ISIS. But just because we're not paying attention to it doesn't mean it's not happening and doesn't mean it can't have potentially dire consequences for us someday.
Ignoring it doesn't make it go away. And they're going to find a way to get our attention one way or another, unfortunately, it seems like. Jim, on these gruesome notes, we'll call time for today. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Thanks for being with us today and reminding you to protect your home the smart way. Visit simplisafe.com/ricochet. Go right now and you'll also get free shipping on your order and a free keychain remote worth $25. It only takes a minute to get started. simplisafe.com/ricochet, SimpliSafe.com/ricochet. and join us on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.